Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Zach Celadonia.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I'm not by myself this time. Look, lo and behold, guess who's back? Don't call it a comeback. He's been here for years, but one, Zach Flash Celadonia. What's up, my friend?
Oh, yeah, back like I never left. It's great to be here, as always. Sorry I've been away to everybody who cares. There hasn't been much to talk about.
No.
But now there is. And we're trying to get back in the swing of things, getting ready for camp. Yes. Camp's right around the corner. And what a great day to reconvene, because we actually have some news.
Real, like, actual news. Like, I am wearing my Alex Highsmith jersey in celebration today of pretty much all the Yinzers bitching and complaining that he signed an extension. Like, so immediately what comes to mind, you know what? I had to find this, too, because I sent this to I said that we were talking about this offline. Now I got to go find it, because there's a lot of good stuff with Alex Highsmith. I've been on the Alex Highsmith, the Highsmith clan bandwagon for a very long time here. And I said, this is a guy, you and I are like not shocked by this whatsoever. This was, should have been routine Steelers business as usual. They could afford to pay two edge rushers. It might've been Brian when also we were talking about this, but throughout the summer we've mentioned, okay, Marcus Golden is signed. Just in case there's that sit-in type thing, you have an extra veteran, you have an extra guy, you don't have to have TJ like kill himself for training camp. TJ is who TJ is. And we'll get to TJ as well today because there's a lot of Steelers out there that aren't getting the respect that they deserve. And we're going to start with Alex Highsmith. We probably won't talk about Kenny Pickett today, although you may have a hot take or two that are out floating around about Kenny. But we had a whole show just dedicated to Kenny and all the quarterbacks around the league. But right now, it's Alex Highsmith. And I remember back when he was drafted, there wasn't a lot of fanfare because he's a third-round pick out of Charlotte. You had to look it up. You're like, wait a minute. Charlotte has football? What's Charlotte? What's the University of Charlotte? Is that like a Division I program? And yeah, it's relatively new. And he was like, what?
The highest? Eric and Joby went there.
Yeah, but isn't he like the highest? Was he the highest guy drafted or one of the few guys that are literally drafted out of the program? You know,
so Ogunjobi or Highsmith?
Highsmith. It's a good question about Ogunjobi. Where was Ogunjobi taken in the?
I thought he was about a third rounder, maybe second.
Now you got me looking. I'm pulling it up just because I like to know. Yeah, third round, pick 65 back in 2017. So now I got to look up and see where Alex was taken, like who was taken sooner. But still, very, very young football program. You know what I mean? This isn't, we're not talking about Big Ten or anything like that as well. SEC, ACC.
Oh, yeah, those are the only two guys I know in the whole NFL that are from Charlotte.
Yeah, basically, like, my point. So, like, but rewind back to that draft, though. You had the first-round pick sent away for Minkah Fitzpatrick in a trade earlier. Nobody was complaining about that. Some people did. And they said Kevin Colbert, completely out of touch, doesn't know how to draft. So he's another guy that gets the disrespect thing. And then Chase Claypool, say what you will, he was the first pick taken, but he was the second rounder that year. And he had a lot of promise as a young rookie. And now the Steelers have parlayed that into the pick that turned into the Joey Porter Jr. pick. So that looks pretty good, too, so far on paper. And now Alex Highsmith signs for some money. I think he was fourth in the league with 14 and a half sacks last season. A lot of people said, well, he didn't do whatever because Watt wasn't there. That's baloney. We'll dig into some of the numbers. Puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. But if Alvians could have had Bud Dupree a couple of years ago, Bud Dupree had a bigger contract than what this ends up being. I'm trying to pull up the numbers here. My eyes are glazed over. We had a number of technical difficulties trying to get this one going today. So lucky to happy to be with all of you that are paying attention.
They're trying to silence us.
Yeah, yeah, they are. So I've got it here. According to Ian Rappaport, I feel scuzzy when I say his name, like literally scuzzy.
I like Rap Sheet.
Rap? What? No, this is the guy
don't
that
bother
like
me. Schefter's worse.
Yeah, well, they're all kind of sleazy, to be completely honest. Yeah, as I'm pulling up the graphic, you're like, you got to get in my skin here, under my
skin. That's the name of the game in the Source game. You got to be a little sleazy.
He is sleazy. He's the one who was talking. He always drops his stuff at like 11 a.m., 12 p.m. Sunday before 1 o'clock kickoff, which I hate that because then you have no pressers, but players are like blindsided by the news. You're catching them after the game, win or lose. And they're like, wait, what? They're talking about. Yeah. Big Ben, like, being traded to the Rams or something. It's like, come on, man. I will never let that go. And he started his Todd Haley crap that one time, too. Like, same time frame. It's always when I'm walking up to the stadium from tailgating. But this jerk, Jag, you're not going to get me. You're not going to get me off that podium. He's a Jag. Alex Highsmith, 4 years, $68 million extension. So this is on top of the current deal that he has, which was he was entering the final year of a rookie contract this year. So they spread that money out a little bit more, depending on what the Steelers are doing. I don't know. I trust Omar Khan, numbers guy, to get this done. He's one of the top 10 highest paid edge rushers in the NFL, coming off a career year with 14.5 sacks. Highsmith cashes in. Pittsburgh locks in a key player. Yes, they do. And for a number of reasons, people are probably like, really? And it's like, yeah, he had a good year last year. And if he puts up another double-digit sack season, bye-bye, he's not going to be back in Pittsburgh. As somebody with an ungodly amount of money, think of the Jaguars a year or two ago on their gigantic spending spree, would have come around and snatched this guy right from underneath the Steelers. And what's this come out to? What did I say it was? 68? Yeah,
64, 4 years. I think. And that's the issue at the heart of it is people see the 64 and they see red. And if you just read a little bit farther down or you find a different tweet, yeah, he signed a $64 million deal total, but the guarantees is about $27 million. So that's the guaranteed money. So that's really what they signed him to right now. If he plays well enough to hit all of those incentives to get to $64 million, that's a good thing for the Steelers. But those people that don't like the extension, they don't see that. They don't allow themselves to see that because they just get frustrated at anything the Steelers do. I found that if any team signs a guy to more than like $30 million, it's just like a knee-jerk reaction from the fan base being like, oh, is he worth it? That's a lot of money. It's like, yeah, good players cost money, man. Edge rushers make the second most in the NFL behind quarterback. Quarterback's the most important position in sports. So the fact that edge is right behind them, that I thought people knew this. You know, it's edge rushers, left tackles, and cornerbacks fall into line after quarterbacks as far as how they're paid. Usually, there's always outliers, you know, like Antonio Brown, whatever. Like, there are guys who are elite players that break the mold. But Highsmith is falling right in line, making appropriate money for a good edge rusher.
Yeah, 68, one shy of 69, 1 million shy. They should just give him a little bit extra, but it was four.
For 69. If that was my age, and I would have pushed for that.
No deal, Howie. No deal.
Tack one more on there.
Yeah, tack one more. That's 17 a year. They gave Bud Dupree 16 on a franchise tag. So, I mean, I'm not sure what people are really. And in fact, that was just the Steelers. What did Bud
Dupree? Would you rather not have him? Would you rather not have him?
Yeah.
I mean, like, after what we've seen, how hard it is to find an edge three who doesn't leave because he's upset about playing time, it's not easy finding really good edge rushers. I'm not too young to remember the period of time where we kept calling James Harrison off his couch to come play because we didn't even have one good edge rusher. You know, now we have TJ Watt and Highsmith locked up for the foreseeable future, making appropriate money, like I already said. I don't see how you can be upset at this move other than that's just your personality type as a fan.
Yeah, and Dupree was, he was signed 5 years, $82.5 million. So it's in that same ballpark, I guess, if you break it down, average per year, it's 16.5. And that was signed in 2021. So these scales keep going up. And as
I bet if Dupree signed Highsmith's deal, we would have gotten less kickback from certain fans. And I don't know why that is. I had a thought that, like, sometimes draft pedigree just, like, sticks with people or their flashiness. And Highsmith isn't really a look-at-me kind of player. He doesn't celebrate much. He just goes to work and does his job, and he's a former third-round pick. So that might just stick with people, and they might think because of that he's not worth that type of money. But he's exceeded expectations. He's pretty much boomed as much as possible as a third-round pick from a lower-level school, and he's earned the money. And he's a good player. He's a good Steeler. I love the move. I think it was one of the more, like, under the radar and less worried I've been about a signing maybe ever with the Steelers, and especially in edge position where they make so much money. It just never seemed like Highsmith and the Steelers were ever not close. You know, it never seemed like there were any headlines coming out that they don't agree on this, or Highsmith might hold out, or you're going to trade him. Like, no, it was very behind the scenes, very quiet, and they got it done before camp.
Yeah, that's an important detail as well. So there's no drama in camp. The deal's done, signed, sealed, delivered. Omar Khan getting it done again. I mean, I've been banging my drum on Alex Highsmith for the last 2 years. I put him up. Everybody was all about Melvin Ingram. Remember that dude? And he didn't do jack shit with the Steelers. And everybody's like, oh, look how bad they were. And then you have Highsmith out there. And I'm like, Highsmith, you had the Cleveland Browns end up signing Jadeveon Clowney, right? And I'm like, Alex Highsmith is going to outperform Jadeveon Clowney. And everybody was, you know, up my ass about it. And the stats don't lie. I know we talk about being stats whores sometimes, but stats don't lie. He outplayed him by every metric with fewer snaps and fewer games, everything else. And
it's the name thing, dude. It's the recognition. Yeah. People know who Clowney is because he's like a national star. Highsmith is very under the radar. So there are some people, idiots, that probably would have thought if we gave Clowney a lot of money, but okay, well, it's Jadeveon Clowney just based off of name recognition alone.
Yeah, exactly that. And I'm trying to think what Yannick Ngakoue was still hanging around out there, and they probably would have been very happy if they signed him for like, you know, 16, 18 million for just one season. It's just preposterous to some point. And I want to back up some of the stats. I didn't quite have everything thrown together here because it was a really fast amount of news here. So let me see. I'm going to try and bring up some good stuff here. I've got since entering, well, let's say last season. Okay. So last season for Alex Highsmith, 14 and a half sacks, right? And that placed him sixth in the league. If you count two-way ties, you had Nick Bosa with 18 and a half. Myles Garrett and Hassan Reddick had 16 apiece. So if you're telling me, like, a lot of people that blow smoke up both of those guys' asses, Garrett and Reddick, this guy had a sack and a half less. I mean, come on. That could be, you could get some pretty cheap stats padding there sometimes. Matt Judon and Chris Jones with 15 and a half apiece. And then there's Alex Highsmith, right? Right. And behind him, Micah Parsons with 13 and a half, Max Crosby and Brian Burns and JJ Watt, all with 12 and a half apiece. Quinnen Williams with 12, Deron Payne. It goes so on and so forth. Some of those guys,
pretty good names, pretty
defensive
good names.
Ends, defense, you know, they're kind of thrown in there too. But you could get the amount of sacks. And of course, Highsmith leads the steal. Think about this for a second. Highsmith leads the Steelers in sacks last year. This is going down in the annals of, like, when you had Greg Lloyd and Kevin Green. It's when you had Lamar Woodley and James Harrison. And those were the comparisons that I was making. Now, contracts were different with Green and Lloyd, but Harrison and Woodley were pretty much almost in the same kind of CBA kind of deal. It's modified a little bit, but more modern. And they're able to pull both of those off after, you know, these guys are basically pulling off, like, defensive player of the year type seasons. And that's where TJ Watt has been in the last, you know, not including last year due to injury, but the last three seasons. So you notice how much, like, if you can't double team TJ Watt if you have Alex Highsmith out there. And of course, with Cam Hayward, that's been our argument with, like, guys like, well, we hope Keanu Benton is really good to replace somebody like Tyson Lulu, bringing back Larry Ogunjobi. So Alex Highsmith is like a critical piece because without TJ Watt and then without, like, Highsmith played every game last season, but just Alex Highsmith out there. He's still got some things done, but Malik Reed, they were trying. Wasn't Ryan Anderson brought in, like, at some point?
Yeah, he was. Highsmith's proven. You know, yeah. We're all excited for DeMarvin Leal, Keanu Benton, but Highsmith is proven, which, like, leads to how important he is because you can't just start fresh entirely and have all guys who have good potential on the defensive line or the edge rushing room. And walking in Highsmith assures that you at least have that piece in place. If DeMarvin Leal explodes onto the scene and is really good, that's another great scenario for the Steelers to be in. If Marcus Golden like all of a sudden is able to find his Arizona Cardinal self from when he was younger and a little bit better. I like the signing, but if he's able to be good, it's like this all falls into place. It's all part of a big puzzle. And Highsmith being retained was crucial to the defense keeping its success level high that it's had in the past, because you can't start fresh. It isn't that simple, especially when you don't know what's coming.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't want to put him up against somebody like Garrett. I know they play like different positions, but in the last...
I mean, 14 sacks is nothing. I mean, 14 sacks is 14 sacks. Yeah, you can put him against those guys because you're talking about tier one, like elite dudes, and Highsmith is right there, right beneath them, and he got paid appropriately as such. He's not making TJ Watt money. He's making like tier B plus money, you know, A minus. And I, again, I've said it three times now, I feel like, but I don't understand how you cannot like the deal when you just factor in all these bullet points, especially when you remember Kenny Pickett, rookie quarterback, rookie deal. These are the kind of moves you can make. And an extension of that is what other positions are really expensive in the NFL? Left tackle and cornerback. Well, best case scenario, Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. end up being what we all hope they can be. Guess what? Again, they don't have to get paid for a long time. Neither does Kenny. So those are really expensive positions that we have, all young positions. And the fact that they're able to invest money into edge is only natural and obvious, because all these other high premium positions, we have them at an affordable rate. Like TJ's making a lot and Highsmith is making a good bit, but you look at the offensive line, they're all under modest deals or rookie deals. The secondary, it's the same deal. So the Steelers, Andy Weidel, this isn't their first rodeo. You know, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they most
if
certainly.
I can know this, like, they are doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense for me. And like I'm saying, now what? Like, you have Alex in a contract situation, maybe don't bring him back, and then you have to find some other free agent, maybe lure Bud Dupree in once again or something at 32, 33 years old to maybe play and then draft a rookie. And
yeah, we had to do that with Highsmith when we lost Bud Dupree. And it's like, I can already hear people thinking like, oh, why don't you just do it again? Because, dude, it's the Family Guy meme all over again. Oh, well, we could either keep Alex Highsmith or let him go and then draft a third round pick that hopefully becomes Alex Highsmith. Like, you already have him in house. Keep him.
Yeah, I was trying to pull up just I had a few guys up here, Max Crosby, Miles Garrett, like over a last eight game type thing, because the Steelers, I went eight games. I went from the New Orleans Saints or actually I went nine games. I'm sorry. Let me. Well, I was doing it on purpose here because TJ, I don't think, had a sack in his return engagement when he came back from the bye. But Alex had two against the Saints. So I was trying to put some things number
I know we had a
number
nice trip sack versus Tom Brady. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, I love, man, Tom Brady. Don't bring that name up anymore. That's old news. We don't talk about him anymore, but like Micah Parsons. Okay. Last nine games of the season last year, five tackles for loss, 13 quarterback hits, 5.5 sacks. Okay. And you have 11 quarterback hits, five tackles for loss, 8 sacks. Alex Highsmith. I mean, you're putting him in there. Max Crosby, kind of in the same category. Let's see, 6.5 sacks. I was trying to get it all in here. Refresh, 24 quarterback hits. So he got after guys a little bit more. 9 tackles for loss.
Crosby's really good.
Yeah. He had 2 forced fumbles. But that's the other thing that, you know, Alex Highsmith had 3 forced fumbles in that period of time as well. He had 5 total last season. He's in the Bud Dupree category now, punching the ball out as well as getting to the quarterback. Overall, 20 quarterback hits. And Jerry Dulac kind of backs us up on some of this as well. And Jerry tweeted out, well, TJ Watt is acclaimed as one of the premier edge rushers in the league. Alex Highsmith isn't that far behind his early pace. Highsmith has 21.5 sacks in his first 38 NFL starts, just 4 behind Watt's total 25.5 in his first 38 NFL starts. So got somebody else that's looking at the glass half full there, as opposed to trying to look at what we got here. I'll never find it from Chris Mueller, I guarantee it, but he was talking about, he had a hot take. And he's one of the guys from The Fan, of course. And Mark Caballi, one of the beat writers, kind of engaged in battle with him, if you will. And he was talking about, he says, well, there you go, the Steelers, you've got an offensive league and they're spending money on defense again and blah, 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 just running his mouth about that type of stuff. And it's like, well, who are you really paying to this point so far that you couldn't afford to keep a premier pass rusher? And a lot of people are still...
That's so clickbaity, dude. It doesn't take one iota of like common sense to just know that Kenny Pickett, quarterback, rookie deal, George Pickens, rookie deal, Deontay, affordable, easy money deal, Freiermuth, rookie deal, our whole offensive line. Nobody was signed to more than $30 million. So it isn't like, and they signed good linemen. You know, James Daniels and Isaac Sumalo are viewed as, Sumalo was literally the top guard of the free agency class.
Yes.
And Daniels was a fringe top 10 free agent the year before overall. So they're investing in the offensive line. They're investing in the offense in ways they see put. Again, Weidel and Omar Khan know what they're doing, man. And they're not going to just go out and be like, okay, well, you know what is missing here? We need to spend an unreasonable amount of money on a position we already have filled. You know what I mean? They're not going to go out and pay a receiver big money or a tight end or a quarterback right now because they don't have to. Najee Harris also on a rookie deal. It's just a really like inflated and like empty statement, like guaranteed for clicks, because again, it doesn't take the smartest person to realize, oh yeah, a lot of money is spent on defense. Look at the age difference between defense and offense. Look at the veterans on defense. Also, I've said this a million times, but when you have the highest paid edge rusher, he's not anymore, but TJ Watt, you got Minkah Fitzpatrick and Cam Hayward. They're all making a lot of money. That's three players that are eating up most of that. Oh, the highest paid defense. Oh, the defense is making so much money because they have three Hall of Fame players still playing at a high level and they need to be compensated as such.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, the offense better be good. No shit, dude. Like, yeah, it better be good. We hope so.
Man, I'd say, tell us how you really feel. And a lot,
I'm so sick of those assholes, man. It's like the same stuff all the time. Like it's pretty unanimous that the Highsmith move is a good move. The Steelers made the right call there. But you got people like this who just want to push against and just be controversial for clicks and for publicity. And we know plenty of them on this show. And I don't agree with that. I feel like people resonate. You know, I think from the mindset of a listener, because that's before I started doing this, I love listening to Steeler podcasts. I still do. And it isn't my style or my attitude to be like, oh, well, I sure hope this works out. Yeah. Obviously, that's such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, and here's the other thing too, is what I was going to bring up with Alex Highsmith, and it's kind of like a short. Steelers were bad for the first half of this season last year, and it was for a variety of reasons. You had games. You remember Minkah had an appendectomy, and you had Alex out there basically by himself without TJ Watt, and they lost like four games after an overtime win in Cincinnati to start the season.
Middle
backer was a mess. Oh, it was a lot of stuff that was a mess. You had Kenny trying to come in and play and become a starter because Mitch wasn't getting it done, and he had his concussion.
Kenny gets concussed.
Yeah, more than twice. Once. Yep. I mean, you had all kind of stuff like that. But just to swing back around, when they sat Melvin Ingram, and that was heading into the Sunday night game against Seattle Seahawks 2021, 1.5 sacks is what Alex Highsmith had in that game. He got to Geno Smith 4 times in that game. And they're just like, why are we playing this old dude that's 32 years old? And the next 12 games, he gets 6 sacks, is what I kept talking about. 14 tackles for loss, 15 quarterback hits. He had a forced fumble. And you just add that, you add those numbers to what he was doing last season. So then you end up with like a total of 20.5 sacks over the last, 30 games, 32 games. That's probably like, it was almost like what Jerry was saying. But 14 tackles for loss. And then what did he have last season? 12. So you have almost 30, 28. And 20 quarterback hits, been with 35 quarterback hits. You know what I mean?
I'm not carrying water. That's not what I did. Seasons. I don't carry water for the Steelers, but they were proven right with the contract. Mm-hmm. Everybody that was mad at them for mishandling Melvin Ingram and thinking Alex Highsmith was better, well, look at their wallets now. Not to pocket watch, but look how much Highsmith is making. Look how much Ingram's making. There are different points in their career, but the Steelers saw it coming. They could see Highsmith realizing his potential and getting better. And all you have to look at is the numbers now to realize they made the right call. But hence why he signed for such a big deal now.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to find, because some people are going to be like, really? Who disliked this? Who didn't like this?
They're the controversial people. Yeah. I mean, I had a friend or two asking me if it was a good move, and I just explained. I'm like, yeah, it is, because of everything I've already said. You know, the Steelers have the means to do it. They have the roster construction to do it. You want to have two fringe elite edge rushers. Three is what you in a perfect world, you have three. Hopefully Marcus Golden or DeMarvin Leal can be that third guy. But you got to have two, man. And if you're giving a guy this kind of money, it's a good thing. You know, I wish these people would, the controversial people, wake up and see that. Like, if you're going to give a guy this kind of money, it's because he earned it. Like, 9.9 times out of 10. What he does with it is up to him. But you have to assume and hope that the Steelers know how to read him. And Highsmith has put in the work, and he's earned this deal.
Yeah, David Todd, you might remember that name floating around. Said a month ago, I wouldn't pay Highsmith $15 a year. Steelers went 17, big overpay in my book. And people are like, an extra two is overpaying? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, David Todd's serving a life sentence in a mute jail for me. He's muted. Yeah. I never see his thoughts.
And he goes, wouldn't pay 15, would not pay 15. A few other people they got really in there. He's a good, not great player.
Maybe I wouldn't pay 15 if we had Kenny on a $100 million deal and George Pickens on an $80 million deal. Well, that's not the case, though.
You couldn't. You'd have to say goodbye to TJ or somebody like that. Caboli then goes and chimes in 14 a year. Like, Caboli's in the same corner that we're in, at least. Let me see if I can find some more stupid comments from folks. Let's see here.
This is a good introduction to our new segment, Worst Take of the Week.
Yeah. We definitely have that. Well, maybe I should just jump off of this. You got to get the idea that all the talking heads were getting in on getting their pound of flesh. I'm sure Mark Madden's in here somewhere as well. So
Mark Madden, you think he might not like something the Steelers did?
Oh, you know, what was I thinking? I'm going to have to find, because he was still talking about the Penguins earlier. It's like, just let it go, dude.
Yeah,
like,
how are they doing?
Yeah. Oh, I found the Mueller tweet, and this is great. So as we're looking for other things, this prop: Steelers keep spending on defense when it's an offensive league, keep building for a running game when it's a passing league, zigging while everyone else zags is a plan to be sure, just not confident it's going to work. Say what?
Yeah, I don't know if drafting a quarterback in the first round and a receiver in the second round and a tight end in the second round, I don't know if that really equates to they're building up for a run game. Kenny's going into his second season, hardly got his feet wet last year, finished really strong. So yeah, they want a strong run game. It's not going to be, I hate the term run heavy offense, because you have to look at it from a perspective of how the NFL is today. They may run the ball, but they're still going to throw a lot. It's going to be a balanced attack. So people that are like, man, are they just going to run and put up 20 points a game? No, I'm sure they'll throw, but they invested a first round pick in Najee. They invested money specifically into their guard spots. They want Najee to run, and they want to utilize him during this time in his career, because coincidentally, what we're seeing right now with the running back market is a lot of guys aren't making any money after their rookie deal. Teams are trying to maximize these guys when they have them at their best. So I wouldn't put any kind of stress or concern into thinking the Steelers are going to be a run-heavy offense. They're going to run it because they have the means to do so, but they took Kenny in the first round. Okay, they're going to want him to throw the ball. George Pickens, second round. Freiermuth, second round. They want to utilize their offense in every way that they can. They want to put guys in the best position to win. If so facto you happen to have a workhorse back like Najee Harris, then you use him.
Yeah, and you know, they went and got Allen Robinson.
That too.
But everybody's like, ooh, look, Odell Beckham Jr., who hasn't played in over a year and coming off whatever
injury. Well, I mean, those people are fine. I mean, I can get around the idea, maybe.
Yeah, and that's not a defense and run first offense.
Yeah, I was actually inspired by that topic by my friend, because he was asking me about the rumors coming out that we're going to be running the ball a lot. I'm like, dude, it's all relative to how the current NFL is and the construction of your offense. If the Steelers had, you know, Mitch Trubisky only running the show, that's a different story. But Kenny Pickett, the investment is there. And he showed last year in crunch time, he can make the throws. Now, is he going to have many 40 pass attempts a game this year? I doubt it. But I think he'll average hovering around high 20s. I don't think that's unreasonable. And as a second-year quarterback, you don't want him throwing more than about 30 balls a game, man.
Yeah, so we have Dave Damashek in our corner here. So I'm going to pull
Dave's up. Dave's a good guy.
Yeah, going to pull up this tweet. Shame the devil if Mark 8-9 Cabali is carrying water. Hear me now. Believe me later. Their win total will be in the double digits or I'll eat something zany. I love it. I love it. And, of course, we have to find our other nemesis here. I know Mark Madden. I know he's straight dog. Give him the bag, etc. But they paid Robin like he's Batman. The figure is absurd, and it's more emphasis on defense, which isn't.
They didn't pay him like he's Batman, dude. Look at TJ's contract.
I know.
Batman. He's not making the same money. It's literally an example right in front of his face, man. God.
I know. Hold on. And I'm going to bring up just a reminder of what TJ Watt ended up getting. Okay. TJ Watt, when did he sign this? Like, 2 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
4-year contract. Wait, what in the heck? Over the cap has got this completely borked. It was like it's $122 million. They do not, 4-year contract worth, I kid you not, just so you know, I'm like, you probably think I'm going crazy and I'm stuttering and tripping for my words. Can you read this bottom line here? TJ Watt signed a 4-year contract worth $9.2 million. Well, maybe we are overpaying Alex Highsmith then. But the figure, the actual figure there for the contract, the cap, it's $122.6 million and so 36 guaranteed.
Literally almost double of Highsmith's contract. And so we paid him like he's Batman. Dude, like, come off it, man. Like, we all got a job to do. We all got revenue to boost and traffic to try to bring in. But come on, man. I didn't even know what he said. I thought about like driving home from work today. I was like, I'm sure Madden's going to be one of the people who doesn't like the signing. And I was like, it's going to be so fucking easy, pardon me, to debunk that.
Yeah. So, actually, TJ Watts was an extension too, so it was 4 years. So that's muddled. The real deal was $112 million. So that money from that other fifth year with the fifth year option or whatever mixed in with that on over the cap.
Still counts.
$80 million of that was guaranteed. So there you go. There you go.
Highsmith got 27 or 28, whatever.
Highest paid player, defensive player in the NFL. That's what that contract was.
His guarantees are more than double of what Highsmith made, man. Yes.
And as they should, be, that's some FU money. That's some Bruce Wayne money right there. but Mark Madden wasn't finished, by the way, for the day. He has his columns that he ends up writing. You know, he still gets back every now and then into the wrestling stuff. So I got to look at that. And it's like, please stay out of that. I enjoy that stuff too. Like, can you spoil or ruin any more things that I like to enjoy? But he goes, this column is too logical. More than likely, if you have to announce that, then it's not. But it's Mark Madden. Running backs just aren't that important in today's NFL. And of course, guys that aren't getting respect are all the running backs that got franchise tagged. And now they're talking about how running backs are making even $1 million less per year on average than they were like even 3 years ago. And Najee Harris was, he tweeted out something like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Because Josh Jacobs didn't get the bag. Saquon, they're still making money. They're all playing on operating on franchise tags. And then you got all the guys that are still sitting collecting dust. Leonard Fournette just traveled, had a trip with the Patriots are sniffing around looking at him. Zeke Elliott's still sitting out there. Kareem Hunt, although Kareem could be for other reasons. And we know the Browns. I'm not getting into that, but the Browns.
I mean, Zeke's out there.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said.
Did Dalvin Cook sign?
Cook got traded, right?
No, he got cut.
He didn't?
I know he was sniffing around Miami, but I can't remember if he signed or not. I know Zeke is definitely
not. No, he's still a free agent, too. Like, that's just absolutely batshit crazy, isn't it?
Like, yeah, because Cook's actually still really, really, really good.
Yeah, it's like maybe the premier back in the league. Like, you know, you can make an argument for it. And
definitely.
Yeah, I was starting to say that the Browns released like their defensive lineman in the middle of that too. So it was like, because it just jogged my memory of things going on. But Kareem Hunt, like, floating around out there.
Yeah, the Browns, man. They don't love women over there, apparently, very much.
And then it got the white unis now that they're going to wear against the Steelers on Monday Night Football for week 2. And they're sponsored by Dude Wipes. And Dude Wipes even put out a press release how they had to get involved with cleaning up the Browns or something like that. And I was just like, man, this shit literally writes itself.
You know what you don't have to clean up? Black and gold.
Yeah, that's right. And you don't have to come up with like any fancy helmets, white helmets and everything. And then it's hilarious because within Ohio, you've got the Bengals and Browns like arguing over who's copying one another since the Bengals did like the white Bengal tiger alternate or whatever. We'll see if the Steelers do something. Did you see the Seahawks clip by any chance with Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Are fresh.
Yeah, they went with the 90s unis and he gets out and there's like a little tube TV playing whatever in the background, like NFL Blitz was on it or whatever.
The Vikings did it too. They're rocking the Randy Moss, Chris Carters now.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's solid stuff. But anyways, back to Najee Harris, and just like, I don't think people give him enough due either. He's been playing behind a bad line. A lot of people think Jaylen Warren, the same arguments are going to come up, you know, within next year when he's going to be due, but he's a first round pick. So he's going to be under like, they'll probably fifth year option him and try to extend him. Then they could even franchise tag him, but it comes full circle around to guess who was in the news again? That was a running back. I am so sorry, Pittsburgh. I really, I'm apologetic for the way that I left and sitting out a season and everything else. Le'Veon Bell, the guy who lost like $20 million sitting out a season and not, he could have been a legend. And I read it somewhere and I wish I could attribute to who it was. I think it was just a random like person on Facebook or Twitter that said he could have been one of the greatest of all time in Pittsburgh. But he was just thinking short term instead of long term. Short term, I want that money right now, the guaranteed money. And if I get hurt and everything like that. But he was setting records and doing things that only like Franco Harris or Jerome Bettis was doing. And at the end of
all, he's my favorite running back I ever watched for the Steelers. I mean, because I was too young with Jerome Bettis. I missed Jerome Bettis' whole career. And Willie Parker, I loved Willie Parker, but Le'Veon Bell is my favorite Steeler running back of my lifetime. So yeah, he could have been special. He was one of the first players that I felt like I was properly able to like analyze in a unique way. Cause I remember in passing and conversation with friends, I would say, dude, he's just so fun to watch. And everyone I would say that to, like, dude, yes, he's so fun to watch. Like, so I always felt like we had something special going on with Le'Veon Bell. And I still love Le'Veon, but yeah, it's just a shame he wasn't able to stick around. And Najee, I'm very happy with Najee still. I think a lot of people, I don't blame people who aren't Steeler fans and don't follow every game chronologically, but last year started pretty rough for Najee. He was running with a steel plate in his foot, and then plate comes out and he's running good again. And I think he's a rather good running back, and I think he does a lot of things well. He's clearly a workhorse. The Steelers clearly feel that way. By now, if Najee Harris was a bust, he'd be cut, or he wouldn't be getting the amount of workload he gets from the Steelers. Mm-hmm. And the running back contract debacle, there's so many factors that go into it, in my opinion. You know, you've got the Ezekiel Elliott situation where the Cowboys gave him an ungodly amount of money for a running back and it blew up in their face. And you've got guys that are on their rookie deals that you're able to maximize and not pay again if you choose to do so. And then you factor in workload and how long did this guy play in college for? And you see teams like the 49ers or another good running team that is able just to put in a free agent and they don't miss a beat. There's just so many things working against running backs that it seems like it's out of their hands. And I don't know if it's like legal in the NFLPA, but they need to form a union or something of running backs and say like, hey, we won't take less than this. Like we won't want more than this. We won't take less than this because it's such an uphill battle because of all these things. And in addition to Ezekiel Elliott, the 49ers wear and tear, you've got our very own James Conner, who speaking of Le'Veon came in for him and put up a Pro Bowl season. Everyone's like, oh, well, apparently they didn't need Le'Veon. So all of these things happening over the course of the past, like 10 years or whatever, it's just taken such a toll on the running back's value as a whole. You still have outliers like Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, probably. They're going to make their money, but if you aren't viewed as a guy who's going to be the number one or number two overall pick in fantasy drafts, you just aren't viewed in the same light.
That's exactly what it is, man. Fantasy football screws it all up. And how about the Panthers had a better run game? I picked this up off of NFL radio. I forgot who was talking about it this morning. Panthers had a better run game after trading CMC. Like,
so, I believe it because I picked up Foreman and he was really
crazy.
Good for me.
It's just crazy. It's crazy. Well, before we get to the other hot takes, the Madden ratings have been coming out too. So some other guys who haven't gotten quite the respect that they should. Let's go to the edge rusher class.
List, dude. They're a nominee for worst take of the week.
Oh,
Madden
okay.
In general.
You could throw, well, add on to what I'm about to say, because they were boohooing here that Myles Garrett wasn't a 99 overall and Bosa wasn't. Micah Parsons, who we just put his stats up at the latter half of the season against Alex Highsmith, the guy, the jersey I'm wearing, the guy who just got the bag. He's third overall in this video game, 97 overall. 3 points above TJ Watt as a 94. Somehow, Von Miller is still on this list, tied for fourth, along with Max Crosby. Okay, I could throw Max Crosby in. But, man, come on. Like, Von Miller is such, it feels like such a legacy pick there, where TJ's not a legacy pick. This guy's in his prime right now. It's the nerds, crazy.
It's the nerds, dudes. It's the nerd dudes and the analytics people and the draft Twitter, which, like, it's because they all have been waiting for this chance to just anoint Bosa and Myles Garrett the best edge rushers. TJ misses games for the first time in his career last year, a significant amount, and everybody thinks he sucks now. He was just coming off Defensive Player of the Year. He was just coming off runner-up Defensive Player of the Year for like 3 years in a row, and people were acting like his 2022 season or 2021 season was just like an aberration. Like, it shouldn't have happened. Like, people are so quick to disrespect him and jump on Bosa and Garrett, and now Parsons is of that company too. And I just, the disrespect is unreal when it comes to this, because I think TJ, I don't get it, because he's a Watt. You know, he should have that name pedigree, right? That value that, like, all the nerds want him to be good. I think it comes down to, like, Bosa, Miles, and Parsons. Myles Garrett and Parsons, they were all drafted high. They were all these, like, college freaks and, oh, they're can't-miss prospects. And it's like, dude, just turn on the game film. I mean, TJ Watt, at his best, has shown that he's better than all of them. But because of last year missing some games, he gets knocked down to fourth overall in the game. And that's why I had Madden on my, you know, worst take of the week.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this, and I have a couple nominees, and Madden, the video game, is leading the charge because of the TJ Watt thing, but also because Alex Highsmith, who just signed that deal, he isn't even their top 20 edge rushers.
Yeah.
Top 20. He couldn't even break the top 20. And he just signed that deal, and you realize that the people making this game, man, it's no wonder it has gone so bad for them the past X amount of years, because they're so off base and they do not have their fingers on the pulse of the NFL at all. I think they really have like a team of like 10 guys who just like go on Twitter or like play Madden themselves and decide who's good, because the Highsmith thing makes no sense. The TJ Watt thing makes no sense. Minkah, this is an every year thing for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They just refuse to give him the top ranking, man. He's behind Derwin James again. He's the second best safety in the game. So
yeah.
I'll accept that, but let me run down some numbers for you for Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick real quick. They both came into the NFL at the same time, 2018 draft. Derwin James' career has been riddled with injuries, okay? 2018, his rookie year, he played the full season. Got 3 interceptions. Pretty exciting rookie year. Minkah, 2 interceptions that year. The next year, 2019, Derwin James played 5 games, amounted to no stats, and got hurt, missed the rest of the year. 2019, Minkah Fitzpatrick had 5 interceptions. 2020, Derwin James opted out, I believe, because it just wasn't available. I think he opted out for the COVID and stuff, which not knocking him for that. But I mean, that same year, Minkah Fitzpatrick, 4 interceptions. 2021, Derwin James, 15 games played, 2 interceptions. Tied Minkah with 2 interceptions. So finally, he's on Minkah's level as far as turnovers are concerned. 2022, Derwin James, 14 games played, 2 interceptions. Minkah Fitzpatrick, 6. Minkah Fitzpatrick has 19 career interceptions. Derwin James has 7. 7.
You're just stats whore, man.
Minkah almost got that this year.
You're just stats whore.
He doesn't do anything wrong.
I know.
He's a complete player. It's going back. It's the same but different as the edge rusher thing with Micah Parsons and Nick Bosa and Myles Garrett. It's draft nerds and it's analytic nerds. They're like, oh, Derwin James, though, he was a can't miss prospect coming out of Florida State. Could have been drafted as a freshman. Height, weight, speed. Nightmare. He's so unique. He jumps out of the gym. Yeah, that's all well and good, man, but his numbers are pale in comparison to Minkah Fitzpatrick, and it goes beyond numbers with Minkah too. He is such a crucial part to what the Steelers do. He is responsible for multiple wins under his belt since coming over from the Dolphins. Derwin James, what has he done for the Chargers? What has he done besides been an exciting player at times? And so, in conclusion, that is why the Madden ratings are number one on my list here for worst take of the week. Number two, we're going to jump right along here, goes to my man Scott Casmar.
Rock the Casmar.
Not exactly sure how to say his last name, but he usually is a cool dude, usually. I think he's a former Steelers fan, but this time of year, we're all so bored. We're all floating ideas around on the interwebs, and he had this four-leg parlay, four receivers to all amass 1,250 yards, okay? So he picked four receivers that are going to go over 1,250 receiving yards. He picked Cooper Kupp, okay? Garrett Wilson, rookie of the year, okay? Calvin Ridley, I can actually see that. Calvin Ridley has done really impressive things when he wasn't suspended for gambling. Then Jerry Jeudy, the Broncos receiver. And I laughed at him in text format on Twitter. I made a joke, and he got all defensive and came at me listing all these numbers and how, like, he's on pace to do it. I'm like, dude, what? Jerry Jeudy, dude, I know from experience from picking him up and dropping him multiple times last year in fantasy, he's not working out to be the Jerry Jeudy that he was supposed to be. Speaking of generational prospects, he was looked at as like the next Julio Jones, you know, and he is far from it. And say what you want about Russell Wilson, but that's his quarterback, man. And they got Sean Payton there now, but I didn't understand the Jerry Jeudy call, and more so, I didn't understand his eagerness to defend his claim. I figured it was just a he's throwing shit at a wall, trying to see if it stains, and I critiqued him on one part, and he got all defensive.
Yeah, the parlays are always tough. I had it up on the screen, too. So Cooper Kupp, Garrett Wilson, Calvin Ridley, and Jerry Jeudy, all 1,250 receiving yards for the season.
Jeudy isn't even the one on his own team. I thought Cortland was. Cortland Sutton?
Yeah, Sutton was definitely targeted more last year. And, like, Jeudy, like, I think he only had, like, four or five games that were over. Like, he would have to average 73 per game, I think, over a 17-game season, of which he's not played a full season, I think, in any of his 3 years in the league. And he's got to have 73 or more. Much. Yeah, he's got to have 73 or more. And they're all banking it on, like, Sean Payton. And it's like, man, I just don't see it. And I was the biggest Russell Wilson supporter up until last year. And it was like, man, I'm lost. I'm like, dude, you got to show me something. This is like the not for long.
What have you done for me lately league? And I can't blame you. I'm right there with you. All signs point to Russell Wilson not being good anymore. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's what he put on tape last year. And yeah, Sean Payton's a miracle worker, but that'll be really put to the test this year with the Broncos. And finally, my third choice for worst take of the week. It's a fun one. I go to Dov Kleinman for this. This is pretty lighthearted. Dov Kleinman said today that the Jets released Denzel Mims, former second-round receiver.
There it is.
Who got picked before Chase Claypool or right after. And like
who'd you say reported that one?
Tonight, Rappaport tweeted he has not been released, actually. They're trying to shop him. So good work, Dov.
Yeah, but did you see who has some interest, according to Matt Lombardo? Steelers and Patriots are maybe in on Mims. Yes.
Oh, so. God damn it, dude. I was going to tweet that I would take him, a flyer on him, and I was like, you know what? I'm not in the mood because there's going to be a bunch of comments about how he's not even good, and I'd have to explain, well, yeah, duh, I'm sure it'd be a seventh-round pick or worse trying to get him in here. And he's still got the potential. We're a receiver factory, so I'd be open to it. I'm kind of already set with how I want the receiver room to be right now, but can't hurt. So, hey, sound off in the comments who you think got worst take of the week. Either the Madden ratings, the Dov Kleinman tweet about Denzel Mims, or my man Scott K. We'll call him Scott K because I can't say his last name.
Yeah, the Scott one was pretty bad, but the Madden, like, I almost say I expect it from Madden just the same way as I do from Pro Football Focus. I just don't ever expect them to be in the Steelers' corner. Sam Moss.
Yeah, but I thought this year would be the year finally because Mink has been either one or either two or three in Madden the past few years. This past year, after Derwin James did nothing, and Minka Fitzpatrick had his arguably biggest impact since we got him here, and he almost got us in the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. This was Minka's best season, and the Madden creators were still like, yeah, but Derwin James is a can't miss prospect, so.
Yeah, I will give some props in one area that somebody finally got something right. And usually, no, it wasn't Cam. What did Cam get right?
He was two.
Cam wasn't invited.
He was two.
Oh, okay.
Behind Aaron Donald, I believe.
Yeah. I wasn't talking about Madden. I was talking about in general, like the media.
Oh.
This is an article from 33rd team that had their Hall of Fame locks, their future Hall of Fame locks. They actually had Ben Roethlisberger as a lock. So, yay. Yes. Finally, somebody. There's some likely Hall of Famers that they had in here. Marquise Pouncey is listed under likely. Antonio Brown. Man, I don't know. They probably wouldn't let that guy anywhere near a live
mic.
It's
going to be tricky for him. It's going to be tricky for him because I thought T.O. had a hard enough time, and T.O. never did anything illegal or to the level of that Antonio Brown did. So it might take a few go-arounds for A.B. to get in there, if he ever does.
Not sure that he still put up the number. I don't know. Like, it all gets messed up with Megatron. AB is definitely a great player. We'll see what ends up happening. And the last thing, when we're talking Hall of Fame, they released the order of the speeches. Who's talking? Yeah, Joe Thomas gets the headline class.
How? With Darrell Revis in that class, dude? Joe Thomas? What has he ever done? Besides being
I can't argue
pro,
with you, man. I know a lot of people are finally like offensive line. This goes to the entertainment aspect of the NFL. What they got the Cleveland Browns, I think, playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, but Darrell Revis has a bunch of fan bases behind him. Jets, Patriots, Steelers, because of Pitt. Like, he's got more of a wide casted net, and I feel like he's more of an iconic name in the NFL than Joe Thomas is.
Yeah. Totally agree with you, my dude. We're up against it, folks. We actually had some news. We had some things to talk about next week. From now, we're going to be talking training camp. Finally going to be reporting. Players are reporting. There you go. Kept those from New Year's. I don't have my kazoo anymore anywhere around here, but that'll do it for us. We've got some more things to talk about. We will have some actual things to talk about. I don't have to talk about like exciting games on the schedule or where to watch them. And a lot of people like to drop in and be like, here's all the illegal ways you could do whatever. That's great. Do that in the comments. I can't do that on the show. So, but anyways, Flash, thanks for joining me again. And folks, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. We appreciate you watching or listening wherever you may be. Until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.